Torah should be Le'ili Nishmas, your mother, Sarah Bas, Reb Yochanan, and hopefully she will have an aliyah from our Divrei Torah. As we know, there are 39 categories of malachas on Shabbos that we all have the obligation to adhere to. And the Gemara teaches us that these 39 categories of malacha were all derived directly from the building of the Mishkan. So whatever was done in order to have a Mishkan fully functioning, from there we learn what we are not allowed to do on our Shabbos. So in the Mishkan they had to bake the lechem apanim, therefore we are not allowed to bake on Shabbos. And in the Mishkan they had to dye all of the curtains in order to have all the different colors necessary, and that is why we are not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And in the Mishkan they had to write things down, and that's why we are not allowed to write things down. Everything that we have from the laws that are governing our Shabbos are learned from what they were doing in order to have a functioning Mishkan. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, do we learn from the building of the Mishkan, or do we learn from the function of the Mishkan that was every day in order to have the Mishkan do all the different things that it was supposed to be accomplishing? So as we know, the Gemara tries to work hard and figure out where we derive each particular malacha from. What was it that was done in the Mishkan that defines what the malacha is for us? So when we come to the malacha of Bona, there we don't really have to look too far. Obviously they built the Mishkan, so therefore the malacha of Bona, of building on Shabbos, is something that is fairly simple for us to understand. And this is why the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Ches, Ohale Keva Lo Yaseh, a person is not allowed to make a building, certainly. That would be the real malacha of Bona. And the Gemara says that a malacha of Bona would also be if you make an Ohel Keva, if you make something which is just not a building like an edifice, but if you have something which is an Ohel, which is an overshadow of something else. We are assuming that if you do such a thing on Shabbos, imasakein chayiv chatos. The Gemara says if you do that on Shabbos, you will be obligated to bring a chatos to the Beis Hamikdash, and this is quoted the halacha in the Rambam as well. Ha'ose ohel kavua. Excuse me. Somebody who makes an ohel kavua, hareza toldos bona b'chayiv, that is considered an offshoot of bona b'Shabbos, and therefore you would be punished for violating the laws of Shabbos. So the Yerushalmi, in the seventh parak of Maseches Shabbos, discusses the following shaila. What about when you do something which is only a binyan l'sha'a? What about when I build something that is not going to be of everlasting nature? Now, nothing is of everlasting nature, but you have, when a house is built, we assume it's going to be around for a long time. That would certainly be a malacha of bona. But what about when I build something where the nature of that item is that it will be taken apart? Not like a house where you intend for it to be there forever. So what exactly is the story with binyan of that nature? And the Gemara in the Yerushalmi comes to the conclusion that because in the Mishkan, they had to put up the Mishkan and it wasn't meant to be there forever, the Yerushalmi says, we assume that the Mishkan was put up and taken down subsequently, so therefore we assume that binyan, the defining characteristic of the malacha of Bona B'Shabbos as far as our Shabbos is concerned, is patterned off of what was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, even if we do only a temporary building, that would also constitute a malacha of Bona B'Shabbos, the same way it was necessary to be done in the days of the Mishkan. And therefore, by extension, now that we assume, based on that Yerushalmi, that binyan B'Shabbos is considered forbidden, even when it's only in a temporary nature, there was a major discussion that broke out in the 1700s. The leader of this discussion was the great Nodeb Yehuda. Rabbi Cheskel Landau in the 1700s had this argument about what he referred to as the parcel, which is the umbrella. Is one allowed to open an umbrella on Shabbos or not? Should we assume that by opening an umbrella you are now building something and creating a structure that now is able to house something underneath it? So it's true, it doesn't have walls, but it is certainly created in order that you should be able to shield a person from the elements that are outside. So the Nodeb Yehuda writes at the end of his tshuva, Derech Klal, he says, after a lengthy discussion and all the research, Chipasnu Akol Tzadei HaFarsal, he says, I looked into all of the various options as to whether or not you're allowed to use an umbrella on Shabbos. V'lo Matzanu Tzad Heter, he says, I cannot figure out why this should be permissible, and therefore he stands his ground and he believes that this is something one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. In fact, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in his commentary on the side of Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Tes Vav, the Mishnah Berurah follows this opinion of the Acharonim as well, and he says, Vihine, Advar Nesias Umbrella, he says, what about using an umbrella on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do that? So he says, Rabu ha'achronim bazeh b'sifreyim. Many achronim before me, says the Mishnah Berurah, have already discussed this at length. Uvederech klal yesh harbe v'harbe shemachmirim He says, there are many overwhelming opinions who believe that you are not allowed to construct an umbrella on Shabbos because that is considered an offshoot of the Malacha of Boneh. And yes, it's true, you don't intend for the umbrella to be opened up forever, but that doesn't make a difference because Binyan Lashav, based on this Psak of the Yerushalmi, when you have a Binyan, even if it is only for a temporary nature, we assume that is still considered to be a Malacha of Boneh Shabbos. And therefore he says, this is something that he would suggest one not do on Shabbos. And he comes to the conclusion and he says that all of this discussion that the Achronim have is with regard to the Malacha of Boneh Shabbos. But he says we have a secondary concern, and that is the fact that maybe someone's also going to carry an umbrella outside in a place where you don't have an Eruv. I grew up in a community where we didn't have an Eruv. Nowadays, we're all used to communities where we obviously do have an Eruv. But still, says the Mishnah Berurah, we have to have a concern as well. Maybe you're going to carry the umbrella, even should it be mutter to do. He says maybe you're going to carry it in a place where you'll violate the Isra of Hotzah, the Shabbos. You'll carry without an Eruv. And therefore, he says one needs to be very careful about this. The Chazon Ish continues on the discussion and he says, not only do we have to be concerned about the fact that maybe you're violating the Malacha of Boneh B'Shabbos, and not only, like the Mishnah Berurah said, that we have to be concerned maybe you're going to carry it outside without an Eruv, but says the Chazon Ish, we have a third consideration, and that is the fact that we have a Malacha on Shabbos called Makeh B'Patish, means you're not allowed to finish up something that is not a complete item. So he says, the way the umbrella is now, when it's folded up, it is not at all a complete item. Once you open it up, now it is able to be used, and it's as if you have finished off the product on Shabbos itself. And therefore, writes the Chazon Ish, don't we have to be concerned as well because of Makeh B'Patish and Mesaken Maneh? He goes further and he says, maybe we have a fourth problem, and that is the issue of Uvdin D'Chol, which again is a very fluid kind of category, not so clear exactly how do we define what is considered Uvdin D'Chol and what is not. But based on all of this, the Achronim say you have to be concerned and an umbrella should not be opened up on Shabbos. Well, writes the Nadi Yehuda, what if I try to circumvent all of the issues and I open it up before Shabbos? Somebody has some foresight. Somebody makes sure they look at the forecast and they see that there's going to be rain on Shabbos. They know not to open it on Shabbos because of Mesaken Maneh, and they know not to carry outside because there's an Eruv, and they know that there's an issue of perhaps violating the Malacha of Boneh B'Shabbos. Says the Nadi Yehuda, why can't I have it open before Shabbos and then carry it to Shul? So he says that also would pose a serious problem, and that is the issue of Marasayin. Says the Nadi Yehuda, you have to be concerned because most people, when they see you carrying an umbrella outside on Shabbos, don't think that you opened it up before Shabbos began and you had all this in mind, certainly in the days of Nadi Yehuda when they didn't have forecasts like we have today. So he says, you have to be concerned because of Marasayin. And therefore he writes that he would say, even if the umbrella was opened up before Shabbos began, you still have to be concerned because of the issue of Maris Ayin, and it is not something that should be done. With all of this context in mind, with all of this discussion about the parameters of the Malacha of building, of Boneh B'Shabbos, the Achronim ask a very obvious question, and that is with regard to the building of the Mishkan. As we know in our Parsha, we begin to learn about the instruction to build the Mishkan. V'yikuli truma, everyone was supposed to contribute whatever they had. Zav, achesev, unachoshes, utcheles, v'argaman, everyone had the job to give whatever it was that was necessary to have a functioning Mishkan. When the Mishkan was actually completed, we are told that they had a celebration, the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. They had a celebration, the Gemara discusses it, about how they used to have the Mishkan put up and taken down. And so much so, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who had the right to put up the Mishkan and take it down. I mentioned last night in the Shir, isn't it strange? Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the building of the Mishkan was over 80 years old already. He was at least 80 years old. So how is it possible? Nobody in the Jewish people was careful enough to think about the fact that the old man, Moshe Rabbeinu, 85 years old, is going around building the Mishkan by himself every day, taking it down by himself. Isn't that strange, asked the Gemara? So the Gemara comes to an answer as to why it is that it was important that Moshe Rabbeinu himself be involved in the building of the Mishkan every day, and no one else was involved. Well, ask the Achronim. If that is true, that throughout the week of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the Mishkan was put up every day and then once again taken apart, and then put up again and taken down, they ask, isn't it obvious that you certainly had to do it on a Shabbos? 7 days, mathematically, means you have to pass through a Shabbos at some point. So the Achronim ask, what right did they have to build the Mishkan on a Shabbos? Isn't that a blatant violation of the Isra of Boneh B'Shabbos? So how are they allowed to do that? So the answer that the Aruch Haner gives is, you're right, it was what we refer to as a hora'asha. It was a one-time exception. You're right. For all future generations, no one's allowed to build anything on Shabbos. Not only are you not allowed to build a structure that is of everlasting nature, but even a structure that is only of temporary nature, and perhaps even an umbrella, which is very temporary, even that perhaps we would say on Shabbos you're not allowed to be engaged in. However, there was one exception to the rule, and that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. God instructed him every day that he was supposed to put up the Mishkan and take it down. Therefore, it must be that was a Horasha, and therefore it was permissible. So we have a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which is a little bit of a problematic Gemara. The Rishonim have issue with this Gemara because the Gemara seems to say that it's possible for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, for the next Beis HaMikdash to be built, either Balayla. The Gemara there is talking about the Isser of Chadash, a whole complicated discussion, but it seems from what the Gemara mentions that it's possible for the Beis HaMikdash to be built Balayla, and the Gemara also seems to have a second suggestion, and that is that the Beis HaMikdash is also able to be built on Yom Tif. And the question is, Rashi asks on the Gemara there, how is it possible that the Beis HaMikdash is allowed to be built at night or on Yom Tif? After all, says Rashi, the Gemara Maseches Shavuos tells us, B'yom Hakim Es HaMishkan, that the Mishkan was only allowed to be built during the daytime hours. So how can it be that the Beis HaMikdash ultimately, that is learned from the Psukim in our Parsha, how is it possible that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to be built in the middle of the night? And secondly, says Rashi, don't we know, Es Shabsosai Tishmoru Es Mikdashi Tirov, Es Shabsosai Tishmoru, you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, says Rashi, you're also not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tif. So if that's the case, ask Rashi, what is the Kavanah of the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah when the Gemara seems to indicate that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is allowed to be built either Balayla or on one of the Yamim Tovim? That is the question of Rashi. And Rashi very famously answers this question by suggesting that you're right, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi Yavo Meshuchlo Min HaShamayim. The Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi will come down as a complete product, Min HaShamayim. It will come as a ready-made edifice, straight down from heaven, and that will be the Beis HaMikdash. We will not have to do anything. So therefore, you're right. It's true that it says if we're building a Beis HaMikdash, we have rules and regulations about how we're allowed to do it. We have to build it only by Yom. We have to build it only on a day during the week, not on Shabbos or Yom Tov. However, if the Ribono Shel Olam is building the Beis HaMikdash, he can do whatever he wants. So if it's going to come straight down Min HaShamayim, says Rashi, this would not be a prohibition, that would not be a violation at all of the rules that govern the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam very famously disagrees, and the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes that the Melech HaMashiach is going to appear, and he is going to be the one who's going to give the instructions about building the Beis HaMikdash properly. The Rambam seems to say this is a mitzvah that all of us are going to have a part in, and this is not something that God himself is going to do on our behalf. So what does it mean when we say here that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi perhaps will be built Balayla or on Yom Tif, if in fact we are the ones who are going to build it? How can it be that we're allowed to violate the rules in the building of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi? That is a big question that is asked on this opinion of the Rambam, how exactly he can understand the Gemara. But the Aruch Laner, the great Gadol in Germany, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in the 1800s, points out that we daven every day. If Rashi is really correct, that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to appear on its own, why do we daven every day, Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash B'mehera B'yameinu? Why do we ask that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt? Why don't we say Sheyigala Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash should be revealed? The Ribono Shel Olam already built it. He's taking care of the whole thing. He's just going to give us a delivery of a ready-made package. So if Rashi is correct that that's the nature of the third Beis HaMikdash, our tefillah seems to be a little bit misleading. Why do we say Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash instead of Sheyigala Beis HaMikdash? So he famously suggests, the Aruch Laner writes, that the same way when you have a child who's born, so you have two aspects of the child. One is the guf that the parents created, and one is the neshama. You need the Ribono Shel Olam to infuse the neshama part. Obviously, you need God to be involved in everything. But naturally, we assume the parents were involved in creating the guf, and then the Ribono Shel Olam swoops in and puts in the neshama inside of the guf. So too, he says, that is what's going to happen with the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. We as human beings are going to be involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, the edifice proper, and then after it's all finished, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to come and put the neshama into the Beis HaMikdash, which is his own Kedusha into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what Rashi means. And with this, the Aruch Laner writes, maybe there's no real disagreement between Rashi and the Rambam. That's his suggestion. Let's just close with one final comment, and that is an amazing comment by the Maharil Diskin. As we know, today is Rosh Chodesh, and on Rosh Chodesh we say, on Yom Tif we say this tefillah, B'nei Beischa Kevatchila, V'chonen Mikdashcha al mechano, v'hareinu bevinyano, and we should see the building of the Beis HaMikdash, v'samchenu, and we should have great simcha, we should rejoice, b'sikuno, while it's being fixed. So the Maril Diskin pointed out, what does it mean? We should see the great building of the Beis HaMikdash, and we should have simcha while it's being fixed. What do you mean while it's being fixed? What needs to be fixed immediately when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? It's not going to need to be fixed. Maybe 10 years down the line, something's going to break along the way. But what do we mean, b'samchenu b'sikuno? That sounds like something that is not of immediate nature. Suggests the Maril Diskin, what we mean is the following. The Ribono Shel Olam is going to come and leave us the whole Beis HaMikdash already built. But he's going to leave us one screw over here and one little part of the Mizbeach over there. He's just going to leave us the last finishing touches that we have the opportunity to be a part in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore writes the Maril Diskin, this is what it means, V'har'enu b'vinyano. It's a double tefillah. Number one, he says, we should have the opportunity to see the great edifice and to experience that which the Ribono Shel Olam himself is going to build. But on top of that, we ask him a more profound tefillah, and that is, V'samchenu b'sikuno, allow us to have simcha in our taking part in the building as well. Make sure to leave over a little bit that we as human beings can feel that we have accomplished something, that we have been a part of this incredible journey of building the Beis HaMikdash, of being a part of having a Geula Hasida. That is what we ask the Ribono Shel Olam every Yom Tov. This is what we pray for. Not only that we see the Beis HaMikdash, but that we should have a sense of fulfillment by being fully engaged in a part of the building process ourselves, and not just leaving the whole thing up to the Ribono Shel Olam himself.